This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
And horrifying news story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
Angel, have you been paying attention to some of these side stories in Major League Baseball about the baseballs? Players having issues with the baseballs. Red Sox Kenley Jansen says slick baseballs are hard to control. He's very upset with the quality of baseballs this year. He said, I got to get better. But also, if you're playing in cold weather, windy, and you get pearls balls out there that's not rubbed well, I don't know where the ball's going. Sorry, it's just, yeah.
It's baseball. I've not heard these stories.
No, there's a few guys that have been complaining. I saw a couple people complained in Colorado. Whoever was in Colorado last.
The Rays.
Yeah, it would have been the Rays. It was a Rays player. So he's a 36-year-old right-hander, of course. He had a two-run lead. He entered with a two-run lead. He hit a player, a batter leading off, then gave up a single. And then a sacrifice fly before striking out his next opponent. He said, I don't hit guys. I don't walk people this much. I start to get frustrated. Any balls that came, I just throw it back until I find a good ball, and it's just brutal. It's embarrassing. It's been a while that I've been playing in this league. He's 36 years old. From the beginning of my career until now, it's getting worse, and I've had a lot of my teammates say they feel the same way. First pitch, get out of my hand. I don't know where it's going. Second pitch, same thing. So, Angel, I know we've changed a few things with the baseballs. They are different because this was a story last year, too. So, if my first reaction is the headlines. Okay, it's baseball. They're complaining about the baseballs. But is there something to this, or is this just a couple of players complaining about nonsense?
I'm going to say it's more nonsense. Mm. And this is, maybe this is why people have a hard time getting into baseball, because it's a baseball. You just throw it.
It's what? How much different can it really be?
Now we got to complain because it's not rubbed up enough with mud or whatever. Like,
I don't know.
Yeah, and it was a Tampa Bay's pitcher, Jansen, that complained about the ball quality after being in the humidor at Coors Field when he walked three batters.
It's a baseball, you know? I mean, air out of a basketball and a football, you can tell the difference. But in a baseball, like, come on.
I mean, I remember being in Little League, you had a bucket of baseballs. They were all different colors, and some were fresh, some were dirty, and it was, hey, these are the balls you're going to be playing.
Yeah, Major League, dude, they can't, if a fly lands on it and you're holding it, that's tainted. You got to throw it back.
But if it goes in the catcher's glove, that's clean.
Yeah.
It's like sanitized.
That's so stupid.
And then you can throw it, as long as it touches the glove, glove, it's fine.
But if it touches the ground, that thing is ruined. It's as good as dead to me.
Can't just, it's a little bit of dirt, just rub it off.
Mm. NBA news, Grayson Allen. Guy really, just such a good three-point shooter. Grayson Allen agrees to a four-year, $70 million extension with the Suns. Allen was exceptional this year, Angel. He just signed a monster deal for him, for his caliber of play. But he was really good from the three-point line this year. He started 73 games this year. He averaged 13 points per game, about three assists, four boards per game. He played a lot this year. I mean, he really carved out a spot for himself, and I think watch out for him in the playoffs. You're always looking at who's going to be kind of not an unknown hero, but that Suns-Nuggets game In Denver about a month ago, Grayson Allen was definitely the hero. He's 46.1% on three-pointers. That led the NBA this season. 46.1, Angel. That's what Christian Brown wanted to get to. Like, half of your threes are going in. That's a phenomenal stat.
MPJ said, I could shoot 50%.
Yeah. I mean, that's amazing. Think about that. Half the time you throw it up there, it's going in. That's incredible. So, Grayson Allen, long-term deal. On the NBA playoff side of it, too, just reiterating, the Thunder clinching the one seed. That is the first time. Is that the first time they've been in the one seed in how long? I mean, I know when they had Westbrook and Harden and Durant, they were one of the teams. They were one of the teams to beat, and that was when the Warriors were starting to come on. And you still kind of had the Spurs in existence at that point, still doing their thing, right around the time where the Thunder were supposed to be a championship team at some point. But over time, the superstars started leaving, Harden first, and then KD, and then ultimately Russell Westbrook. And then they rebuilt. And rebuilt they did. They found a way to get it done, beating the Dallas Mavericks, who, Angel, they weren't. Like, they didn't want to be there. They didn't want to play Denver.
Right.
So it was 82 to 41 or something at halftime. I'm watching the game, and my wife looked at me. She's like, shouldn't they get in trouble for that? Because it's pretty obvious that they're not trying. And I guess not, but they won 135 to 86 over the Dallas Mavericks. They rested all of their starters and a couple of their key reserves. They did not want to win.
Yeah, it's been 12 years.
12 years. 57-25 record. And that was, again, you think about the Thunder back in the day. Aren't you shocked that they never had a championship? Or is it because, hey, they were going through, I think the Warriors were emerging at the time and the Spurs were still rolling? That 12 years ago?
That would have still been with, that was when they played the Heat in one of the finals.
Yep, so LeBron was with the Heat.
And then they had their second push with, when it was just Westbrook and Durant.
Yeah.
And then that's when the Warriors started getting going.
Yeah, I mean, if I would have told you when those guys started emerging, and again, Harden wasn't the household superstar yet.
No. Like, we look back and say, whoa, that was a great big three, but they really weren't all on the same trajectory at that point.
Russell Westbrook was maybe he was the better one of the two, of the three. I guess it just depends.
I think KD eventually surpassed him, and then when Russ was by himself in OKC, he kind of made that his own thing, and then he kind of just has been bouncing around.
So these were the teams, Angel, that, and this is why, when you look at the Thunder, you say what, 12 years ago?
Yeah, 2012.
So that would have been, the Spurs still had Duncan and Ginobili and Parker.
LeBron was in Miami.
LeBron was in Miami. You still had Kobe. Yep. Kobe with the Lakers. You had Dirk with Dallas. The Nuggets were actually a consistent playoff team, too. That was after Melo, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, the Nuggets were a sixth seed that year. Took the Lakers to 7 and lost.
You had Portland. That would have been with Damian Lillard still? No?
In 2012, no.
New Orleans, Chris Paul was there, wasn't he? Or was he with the... Who was he with? He was still with the Hornets, yep. Wasn't he? Memphis would have been the big guys, Randolph and...
Gasol?
Yeah.
The other Gasol brother?
Yeah, the other, Mark. Yeah, so, I mean, you can see why the Thunder didn't get it done. I mean, they were at that stage, Angel. There was other great teams at that point. And then you had the Clippers, too. What were the Clippers? That was Chris Paul and Blake then, the next year, wasn't it?
Blake and Jordan? DeAndre Jordan?
DeAndre Jordan, yeah, sure.
Yeah, so it was the 2013 playoffs. OKC was the one seed. They beat Houston in 6 in the first round and then lost to Memphis 4-1 in the second round. Denver was a 3 seed that year.
This is, I mean, the West was kind of trying to become more spread out at that point, but you didn't really. I mean, Dallas won it the 1 year against the Heat, but outside of that, you were still of the mindset it was probably going to be the Spurs, maybe the Lakers, but the Thunder had a very short window, and then guys just moved on.
I mean, the Warriors kind of took it up right after the Spurs.
Yeah. Yeah, the Warriors came up right after that. You're right. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Angel, I'm going to say it. I knew this. The WNBA draft is tonight.
There you go.
Did you know that?
I did.
Did you know that a week ago?
I think it
was going to be in a week?
Yes. I knew it was on a Monday.
Oh, okay. Okay, so this is good. Caitlin Clark was on Saturday Night Live.
She was on the Weekend Update.
Very good. That's very good for basketball.
She gave Michael Shea an apron signed by Caitlin Clark.
I saw that because he made a joke and said she's electing to they're retiring her Iowa jersey and giving her an apron. And they're having fun with it. Yeah. But did you see there's more trash talk, though? About Caitlin Clark and WNBA players, and we'll see how long this lasts. Are they nasty or what, man? Like, you don't see professional NBA players or NBA basketball players saying, oh, man, it's going to be a rude awakening for so-and-so.
I think if you do hear that, it's kind of more just like a, not a joking way, but kind of just like a teasing. Victor Wembanyama, he's going to get pushed around. Because he's like 110 pounds.
But even then, guys were pretty respectful of him, and they have been all year.
Yeah, because game recognized game.
Yeah, and Caitlin Clark, you need to be saying, hey, you are a great player. I mean, there's already big news coming up. You know, the team that has the number one seed. Who is the team with the number one seed? I just pulled this up. But the Fever, she drives a spike in Fever WNBA ticket interest. So there's already ticket sales that are being impacted by this. And if she's drafted she will be, by the Indiana Fever, the ticket sales have already gone up, Angel. What are we complaining about, man? Roll out the freaking red carpet and then compete on the court. You want to prove that you're better than Caitlin Clark, do it on the court. But you should be praising this. Everybody all in on it. Although I will say that all of them talking trash, it's kind of making me a little more interested.
Sure, because you want to see how she responds.
Yeah.
Because you go from the top of your league to everyone loves you to, whoa, these veterans are calling me trash and saying I'm not going to be good. Well, I'll show you. Let me hit this logo three-pointer.
Yeah, I mean, I'm telling you, it kind of makes... Kind of makes me want to watch it more because she's now going to be like the good guy. I don't know. I've just never seen a league collect. I'm not saying the entire league's doing it, but there's just a lot of people doing it. A lot of current standout players are just like, yeah, that ain't going to work here. Good luck with that here. It's not going to fly. That little college game of yours. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. 18 minutes after the hour, we're going to take a short break. I do have Kevin Lytle going to join me in a moment. Big transfer portal news hit over the weekend for the Colorado State Rams on the offensive side of things. What does that mean and why? Why now? And we know this is a new window today. Players can enter the portal now after spring practices have been going for about 3 weeks or so. They get a feel for where they're going to be in the depth chart. But Justice Ross Simmons, wide receiver there. We'll discuss. We'll discuss it next with Kevin Lytle of the Colorado. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Hear it again. Podcasts are available at 1310kfk.com.
This is Ali Farouk Manesh, assistant men's basketball coach at Colorado State, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310KFK.
Some interesting news hit over the weekend surrounding Colorado State football. Justice Ross Simmons, no longer on the roster. Coach Norvell announced that after Saturday's spring scrimmage. Kevin Lytle wrote about it in the Colorado. And Kevin, this has come, I mean, at least for me, I don't know about you, but this is a pretty big shock that Justice Ross Simmons entered the transfer portal.
Yeah, it's definitely big news. Obviously, Justice Ross was going to be, you know, expected to be, you know, pretty clearly the number two guy behind Torrey Horton. So it's big news. And yeah, it's kind of an interesting, surprising timing because we knew Justice Ross Simmons was, you know, not really participating in spring because of an injury, which, you know, so him not being on the field wasn't, you know, surprising. But yeah, then, you know, news that he's not on the team anymore. Obviously, it's significant.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was one of the things you were excited about too. Saying, okay, we got Torrey Horton, we got Ross, we got Simmons here. It's going to suck losing a tight end like Dallin Holker, but at least we've got our top two wide receivers. But did Norvell give you much on this, Kevin, or was it just more of like, hey, it's an NIL thing, probably?
Yeah, Norvell's statement was kind of vague, really. Basically said, you know, don't really know what is leading to some things, you know, given NIL, which, you know, reading between the lines, I took as, you know, temptations for, you know, other options, you know, and we know, you know, Justice Ross Simmons was a guy that in December, along with kind of Torrey Horton, or actually more Braden Fowler, Nicolosi, sort of pledged their, you know, recommitment to CSU, which obviously is, you know, means that there was some tampering going on and they had said they were staying. And, you know, that tampering doesn't stop, you know, not really speaking just Justice Ross Simmons here. It's nonstop across, you know, pretty much every roster in the country. And, you know, I think that is certainly part of what Norvell is hinting at, you know, just across the board. But he didn't really say anything super detailed. You know, he just said our captains talked about today, you know, which suggests that there was at least some player input. I'm not sure players, you know, like voted someone off the island. I'm not sure they have that power, but he said that. And then, you know, later, again, not directly to Justice Ross Simmons, he said something along the lines of, you know, we're going to play guys who do the things we ask them to do. So, you know, some, you know, perhaps subtle messaging in there, but no real direct comment or statement on exactly what led to this change.
When you hear stuff like that, though, Kevin, when you hear we want guys on this team that are going to do things the way we want them to do it or whatever, I mean, again, my brain goes to an attitude problem, clearly a disconnect between the coach and the player.
Yeah, I think, you know, it seems to have that suggestion, I guess. Again, it's hard to say, and there's so many different factors that go into these, and, you know, in a lot of ways I have sympathy with all sides on this one. But yeah, I think, you know, clearly there was a little bit of frustration with, you know, just some reliability issues and things like that, which again, is, you know, isn't necessarily a massive red flag. It's, you know, a roster full of, you know, 118 to 22 year olds. You're going to have some inconsistencies there, but I think, you know, for a program, certainly from the coach side, you're trying to kind of have everything as buttoned up as you can.
Kevin Lytle joining us from the Fort Collins, Colorado. And Justice Ross Simmons had 45 catches, as Kevin outlined in his article, 45 catches, 724 yards, and 3 touchdowns last season. When you look at the rest of the depth chart for this team, obviously we know Torrey Horton will be the man, but who else is going to have to pick up the slack now when you look at the rest of this depth chart?
Yeah, well, ironically, I had written about the receivers beyond those two who are going to be needed for CSU. I did that last week, so that ended up being timelier than I had anticipated. But even before this news, you know, with, you know, Torrey Horton, he was sick for part of camp, so he's missed some time. And obviously, as kind of a veteran guy, they don't use him a ton in scrimmages anyway. And then Ross Simmons being out, that had led to a lot of opportunities for young guys. And so some of those, Caleb Goody's had a really good camp. He's one of the guys that, you know, was recruited by Chad Savage and Jay Norvell, you know, with a nice recruiting profile. He's had a really good camp. Jamari Person, Norvell told me, has been just really consistent. You have some older guys, Dylan Goffney, who had his moments last year, some really good moments. He was also kind of up and down. He, you know, seems to be more comfortable and consistent. And then a kind of intriguing one, Donovan Ali, a guy that 2 years ago for Washington State caught two touchdowns against CSU when the Rams were up in Pullman. He was at Cincinnati last year, kind of got buried on the depth chart, but he's a really big body guy that can do a lot of things. So he'll be in the mix. And then, you know, TBD on others. You know, I think especially now the Rams will probably be looking in the portal for maybe one more. You know, we all know that four-star Jordan Ross is coming in the fall. Well, summer technically, but, you know, there are opportunities for young guys.
Kevin, talk to us about this this tight end situation. A big name. A lot of Rams fans were excited to see his name pop up on the socials last week.
Yeah, this is a really cool story, if nothing else. So we knew, again, Dallin Holker, you mentioned him at the top here, he's gone off to the NFL, and that's a big hole. He was incredible. He did everything for CSU last year. And that it's left a question mark. You know, Vince Brown, a JUCO tight end, really tall guy, you know, does some things pretty well, but hasn't really proven at this level. You have a Jordan Williams, who another big guy that we've seen in bits, but not consistently. Another young guy is behind them. And, you know, it seems like all of them do, you know, maybe one or two things well, but maybe aren't the total package. But they just got a commit from this kid, Jackson Warren. He was playing JUCO at Navarro last year. He was recruited by Matt Mummy as a quarterback previously. And even at Navarro, he's listed as a quarterback, even though he played tight end last year. So basically, it sounds like they found out he's a really good tight end, had really big catch numbers. There are some videos of him, you know, windmill, you know, under the legs and then a windmill dunk. So the guy obviously has big time athleticism. So, you know, we'll see how he looks and how he fits the offense when he gets here, you know, in the offseason, but definitely intriguing transfer addition.
Kevin, I don't know if my brain can take it. We had David Roddy who played basketball and everyone, you know, we always mentioned that he played quarterback in high school. Now we got this guy who dunked and played basketball and quarterback. I don't know if my brain can take that.
It's a lot. I mean, if he, let's say he becomes, you know, the new Dallin Holker, you know, we're going to be hearing on, you know, TV telecasts for the next 3 years. Well, did you know this guy used to play quarterback?
Well, and I was going to ask, I know the name's reversed, but any relation to Warren Jackson? Anything that Jackson Warren,
funny.
You know?
It is kind of funny. It's I don't know. I like cool spelling. J-A-X-X-O-N. That's a pretty cool spelling of Jackson in my mind.
I've never seen that spelling before. So,
And I guess I need to check. I assume it's pronounced Jackson, but maybe I'm wrong.
What else could it be, Kevin? You're the word person here.
I write them. I write them. You say them.
I butcher them. I don't say them. I butcher them. Jake's Scon, perhaps, maybe? We'll figure it out as we get there. We'll get closer. Kevin, spring game coming up on Saturday, man. What's, other than the Justice Ross Simmons thing, what has really kind of stuck out to you at this point?
You know, it's tricky right now because just the way this offseason has been and the spring has been, some of the big question marks, like cornerback, for instance, you know, they had several of the guys who will probably be near the top of the depth chart were out, like at the scrimmage last Saturday because of various little injuries. I don't think it's anything big, but, you know, those are some of the guys you want to see, and we just haven't, you know, it's hard to tell in spring anyway, but you haven't seen some of that. You know, the O-line has been a little dinged up, so you've seen some mixing and matching there. So, you know, some of those position question marks, you know, you just aren't going to have a full answer until the fall, which, you know, isn't surprising. But we are seeing some young guys because of some of those injuries. I mean, Jet Vincent came in defensive secondary on Saturday, I thought looked really impressive. You know, Jalen Gardner, who we know is going to play, he's been making some plays. I'm trying to think, you have some Boom Jock, you know, he's probably a guy to really watch. He's going to be a starting linebacker, and he seems to really be making a big jump forward in his second season. So those are some of the guys that, you know, are catching the eye and are really, I think, taking advantage of their opportunities.
Kevin, what time is the spring game on Saturday? And I'll just ask, I think we know that we have the obvious, but I want to reiterate it for listeners. Is it open to the public?
Yes. So it's fully open, not you know, no ticketed, you know, pay point or anything like that. So it's free to go to. 1 o'clock start. There's also the Grit Run for Kim Norvell, you know, cystic fibrosis fundraising run in the morning, which I believe is at 9 a.m. I don't have that in front of me, but check on that. if you're interested in doing a little run in the morning. But yeah, the game's at 1. I need to double check on this as well, but I assume it's going to be the usual format of ones versus the world that Jay Norvell does, which is, I think, a pretty entertaining one. So yeah, it should be a fun afternoon. Hopefully the weather's okay, because it seems like it's been bad for every spring game for like ever, but hopefully it's decent.
I'm going to try to make it out there, Kevin, so save me a seat right by you, man.
It's going to be fun. Well, you know, we put bids for that one. it's the seat no one wants.
Yeah. Hey, while I have you here, we got a text in moments ago that John Tonje just went into the transfer portal from Mizzou. What do you make of that?
Yeah, not surprising, I would say. You know, John, unfortunately, was injured last year, so he only played the first handful of games before he had to get shut down. I know I've already seen some CSU fans kind of trying to call him back home. I don't expect that to happen, although crazier things have happened. But good kid, really grown through his college career. I hope he can find a good spot and have a successful final season in his college career. Good kid, good player.
I don't wish, I mean, obviously John Tonje, great guy, loved it, but I do think players need to see these kind of stories where you transfer, you go somewhere, maybe it doesn't work out. And again, I'm not wishing that. I don't wish ill will on anybody, but I do think that, you know, players need to see this. Hey, it's not always going to be the grass is greener and it's going to be the perfect situation. Sometimes staying where you are might be the best.
Yeah, definitely. That's as this portal world keeps spinning, you know, who knows? It's always going to happen. But yeah, there are definitely circumstances where it's like, well, maybe staying, you know, would have been better for a player.
Yeah. Kevin, appreciate you jumping on. Any information surrounding the CSU Rams? I'm going to keep asking you until we know for sure, but
yeah,
Nico,
I mean,
Medved's not in Kentucky. We didn't get that come down the wire last week.
Yeah, so. Exactly. I mean, I feel like we're going to have basketball news soon, you know, just given the timing on everything. You know, it seems like Nico Medved's going to be back. I still think a contract, you know, extension or alteration is probably, you know, potentially in play. Also, you know, we're getting close to that deadline for NBA draft entrance. So we'll get that news from Nick Clifford. I would expect he'll do what Isaiah Stevens and David Roddy before him did of, you know, declare but keep the door open to return if, you know, depending on how evaluation goes. And then CSU has a ton of visits. They had guys in this weekend. They have guys in now. They have guys coming the next couple days. So there's going to be basketball news very soon. And also on the women's side, the women's basketball team had a really big-time visit, recruiting visit this weekend. If they land this transfer, it'd be really big news as well. So a lot of football happening this week, but keep your eyes peeled for hoops news in the very near future.
Yeah, I love it, man. Kevin, you never stop. I mean, even when you do take a break, you never stop. So we appreciate your ongoing, consistent Rams coverage, my friend.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Kevin Lytle, Fort Collins, Coloradoan. So maybe there's some news there with Nick Clifford. He does what Isaiah did, what David Roddy did 3 years ago, is you put your name in there, you go get evaluated, and if you're not 100% in on, you know, loving what their evaluation is, you go back to college. Now, if the evaluation is like, dude, you're it, you're going to go in the first round, I wouldn't even mess with going back, then Nick would obviously enter the draft. I don't think that's going to happen, but that's what a lot of these guys will do. Flying Dutchman texting in. Let's see. Fine. I hear a lot of Rams fans complain about other schools poaching their talent. I come from James Madison, where it happens all the time. Isn't it part of the game now? Yeah, but that doesn't mean you can't complain about it, because you if you complain enough, then maybe something gets fixed. Angel, what needs to be fixed here? And I just thought of this idea over the weekend, as I tend to do. I think about stuff. You know how they do buyouts for coaches? What if you charge a player to enter the transfer portal? You know, it's not a buyout, but when they sign their scholarship and they say, hey, you're signing with this football team, but if you do transfer for, you know, any reason, you have to pay a buyout or whatever. There's got to be a buyout. Hopefully that's covered with your new NIL deal. I don't know. Just throwing it out.
No, that's an idea, and you're going to see a lot of transfer stuff because the spring portal opens tomorrow.
Tomorrow. I thought it was today.
April 30th.
Mm-hmm.
So some teams finishing up spring practices, doing their spring games this week, and then you're going to see the portal start to get active again.
Is the UNC spring game this weekend? I should know that. Or is it the next weekend?
I believe it's not this weekend and next week.
I think it's the 27th or 8th or
I believe so.
And then CSU's is this weekend. So we had a texter asking if we were going to go. You're going to go? I'm going to go to CSU's. You want to go, Angel?
It's Saturday.
It's Saturday.
Playoff basketball. 1 o'clock. Saturday.
Oh! What time? We don't know what time the Nuggets are playing. I think they're the third game.
Nuggets, it'll probably be an 8:30 tip.
I'm going to have to give Jay a call.
ESPN or something.
You think Jay would move that?
For the Nuggets?
Yeah.
I don't know. He did let the Sixers come practice at their campus or whatever. I don't know if he did, but CSU.
Yeah, I don't think that was him, but yeah. Let me call. Hey, guys, think about moving that thing? I'll tell you right now, Texter, if the Nuggets are playing, I'm going to choose a game that means something over a spring game. And even if it's an hour or two before or after, I can't press it, dude.
Brady has to do like an opening ceremony with the shirt and all this stuff.
I got to get ready. You want to win a championship, you need me doing the things that I do. You need me to stink. That's what this is all about, man. It's the biggest tradition in sports that nobody knows about. 40 minutes after the hour, let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
There's only one feeling like knowing your banker personally, like growing up with a bank you can count on, like being sure what you've earned is safe, secure, and local. There's only one feeling like knowing you're supporting your community. You deserve more from a bank. You deserve an institution that stood strong for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Ed Werder, NFL reporter for ESPN and a 1982 graduate of the University of Northern Colorado. Hope you'll continue to listen to the award-winning Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Well, yeah, that's an interesting thought, Angel. You go, hey, transfers, you want to transfer? Then you got to do a $500. It's $500 to enter it. And if you do it again, it's $1,500. If you do it a third time, it's $2,500. I don't know. I'd be curious to actually know what the average is from the worst team in college football or college sports to the best team. The average is not. We're not talking hundreds of thousands, are we? I mean, I know the story about Braden Fowler Nicolosi was $600,000. You know, he's all right. We'll see if he gets better, but he's got some things, but he also has some things to work on too. So, but a guy like that is demanding, or not demanding, but commanding $600,000. Then I wonder, what is the average? Let's just go D1 FBS. The average can't be, what does a guy get, $5,000 a year? $10,000 a year? I mean, just looking at it, and so I'm thinking if the price to transfer, if there's an actual buyout of some sort, maybe that slows this thing down. I don't know. It's just an idea I thought of. You know, you got to do something. And I get it. It's fair, and there's bad situations, blah, blah, blah. But you can't keep going this way. This way is wrong because there's illegal stuff that is happening in the NCAA's eyes. It's just happening where they can't see it.
This article did a study according to Belzer. This was in May of 2023. Most players are getting around $10,000 to $50,000 annually, noting that about 5 players per roster are making more than $100,000 on average.
Okay, so I mean, if you make them pay $500 into the portal, it's not going to do much.
And it's that those numbers aren't completely accurate because all these NIL deals aren't public information for the most part.
So you'd have to say, hey, you want to enter the portal.
And most Power 5 schools operate with around $3 million on hand.
You can't, and I get there's a lot of flaws in my argument because you're not going to charge Clay Millen to get in the portal. Like, it's an unfair situation for him. He committed to Norvell. Norvell didn't like what he saw, and I'm not faulting him, but that's it. Now Millen was tossed down to third or fourth string. He's still decent.
If the school pays that charge? It's like, hey, I'm going in the portal, and now there's a $500 charge over my head. if I don't get it, if I end up going back to school, I have to pay it, or whatever school I go to has to pay that $500.
It's not that, you know, we're working through it. It's not that wild. Because would Florida pay $500 for Clay Millen? You know, hey, we'll pay $500 for a fifth string quarterback. I don't know.
That way, it's not based on your value. It's just based on a fee, your transfer portal fee.
Yeah, you got to do something to slow it down. Because I do think that the story, like the Tanjay story, he transfers from CSU. He's a starter. He goes to Mizzou. He got a big deal too. He got a big NIL deal. And now he just entered the portal. So those are the stories. And honestly, you don't want to put the guy down. I've had Tanjay on the show. He's a good guy, great guy of faith. But you don't want to put their face up there and say, this is the example of why you should not always transfer. So I don't really want to do that. But players do need to get more of these stories. Flying Dutchman says, isn't the future of college sports companies like Blueprint Sports controlling things? Translation. I don't know. I don't know what that means. The future of college sports companies like Blueprint Sports controlling things?
Oh, Blueprint Sports is a marketing firm for empowering NIL and student athletes.
Ah.
So it's like a big marketing agency.
Oh, those are the kings now.
Yeah, these players have agents.
The NIL is king. Why? And I love this man. I'm going to have him on the show later this week. John Weber is the interim athletic director for CSU. Does he get the job? He's probably going to get the job. But is he even in consideration, Angel, if he's not the guy that started the NIL fund? Oh, it's out there. I tell you what, we got a break. Breaking news, Angel. Breaking news. Nico Medved, per Kevin Lytle, is not leaving. He just got a 5-year extension. So we'll talk. We'll get Kevin back on the show in the 1 o'clock hour. Has that ever happened before? Let's do it. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one station that carries all four. We've got to go with Nuggets, Avalanche, Rockies, and Broncos. We are Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Jeff Linder, head men's basketball coach of the University of Wyoming Cowboys, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
All right, Angel, I don't like to take a lot of credit for things. I'm very humble. You know, I am more right than I'm wrong. That's just the facts, but I'm humble about it. I'm going to take some credit for Nico Medved sticking around with Colorado State. Big news just hit. We knew Kevin was on it. We just couldn't hit it just yet. He was waiting to confirm and everything. Maybe we'll pop on with him in the final hour. He just got a 5-year deal. According to College Hoops Today, he signed that moments ago, or I guess this morning. A special announcement will be expected soon, so whatever happens there. 2 years of options at the end of the contract that either side can be picked up. So it's a big deal. I don't know what the money situation is right now, but I'm going to take some credit for this, Angel. We were at this golf tournament last year to raise money in NIL for CSU basketball. And I did interviews all day out there at Harmony Club with players and coaches. And I had Nico on, and I remember saying live on air, I put the pressure on him. I said, Coach, it's beautiful here. Look at these mountains. Why would anyone ever want to leave this place? It's absolutely gorgeous. And I think it got to him. I think he stopped right there. And I think flashes of raising his family and walking around Fort Collins and people loving on him and being great to him. I think it all just hit him like a Rocky montage in his brain. And I put that in there. So, Rams fans, I am not taking full credit, but partial credit is much appreciated. So you're welcome. Nico Medved sticking around at least for the foreseeable future. And I don't know. Well, I don't know. Maybe once we get more details on the five-year deal, we can get Kevin on right now. But all we know is that he received a new five-year deal when I thought Nico was gone 4 weeks ago. And if not Nico, Ali. So we'll see what's next for Ali Farouk Manesh. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Flying Dutchman says college administrators and athletes need a way to negotiate. Collectives like Blueprint might be a solution. I think it's much more of an organization issue than a money issue. For example, Colorado State endowment assets are now over $580 million. Harvard has $49.4 billion. Yeah. I think when you say that it's an issue like with organization, I'll say this. Like we can talk about the assets as much. We can get into that. But it's also under the table stuff. No matter what you do to edit a rule in college, they're going to find a way to change it, manipulate it, take advantage of the holes in it, a loophole, whatever. It's not. What's going on right now is not what the NCAA says is supposed to happen. They're not supposed to be reaching out to guys while they're on a roster. They're not supposed to be messaging them or letting people know. That information is not supposed to get there. It's not supposed to be pay for play. It's supposed to be we sign you based on your skill, and you come here and you get a scholarship or partial scholarship or whatever, and then you earn NIL on your own. You go figure that out. Now it's... No, it's sitting right here in an account for you. You come here, you'll get $600,000 of that. That's not name, image, and likeness. That's paying you to play a sport, and that's not what it's supposed to be. But they're going to keep finding ways to get around it. That's why you put a wall in front of it. Guy wants to enter a portal. That school's got to pay the portal fee. There you go, Angel. We worked through it. There's no sneaking around that. Guy can't enter the portal unless it's cleared with money. The gate opens. Here's $1,000. Final hour of the show. Buy or sell, coming up next.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.